Well, good evening. Everybody else is late but you. Give yourselves a hand. That's awesome. You followed directions, you came on time, and everybody else is late. Yeah, that's about right. That's about right. Okay, are we live? We're good? We're live. So, wow, you look amazing, Grandma. That's like hotter than hot grandma stuff right there. There's a new standard for being a grandma. That looks amazing. Okay, so welcome back to Spiritual Equipping. We just finished our first day of First Steps to Success, and some of the people that are in this room were a part of that first morning and afternoon session. And so tonight is a little bit different. It's actually not a part of First Steps to Success. However, it is a part of my life. On the side, shockingly, I have this little part-time thing that I do on the side, and that is I'm actually an ordained minister. What does that mean? I have a piece of paper that says I'm licensed to bury you, marry you, and that's about it. So you don't need a license for baptisms or baby dedications or any of that kind of stuff, but I've definitely done my fair share of weddings and unfortunate funerals. The weddings are so much more fun than the funerals, for sure, especially when the funeral's my own family. So tonight we are going to very boldly be teaching from a place where I've learned a tremendous amount of business, tremendous about finance and relationships and overcoming horrible, horrible, horrible things that I've done to myself in all reality, bad choices I've made and the wonderful consequences I've suffered as a direct result of it. But before we get started, we've got a lot of people that are pouring into the room right now. We do have some people that are watching from all over the world online. So we want to say hello, hello, hello to all of you from all over the world. We're super excited to have you join us. And we have some people around the country in the U.S. We invited people that were beyond an hour and a half drive to watch online. So this is streaming live from our website. So if you know of anybody that you'd want to have benefit from tonight, you can send them a text right now with a link to our website, because I believe it's right on our homepage. I would like to ask who would actually know. It's on our YouTube channel. Yeah, but we rather send people to our website, DannyJohnson.com. If you send them to the website, right on the homepage should be the video player, and that's where this is streaming live right now. So you can, like, turn this on right now. I'm there. My name is Danny Johnson. If this is your very first time joining us on a Spiritual Equipping, and hopefully you don't hate the fact that I am a licensed minister. You want to throw rocks at me or something like that? If you do, I don't blame you. But nonetheless, prior to doing these Saturday nights, I have been a businesswoman for a really long time, almost 30 years since I started in business. And I grew up in a home where God was a cuss word. That was my spiritual experience until I was 13. And then from 13... found my faith, and my faith is not something that we're going to shove down anyone's throat. I respect all faiths. I respect whatever it is, whatever journey it is that you're on, and however it's way that you perceive that. And if you don't have a God, I would love to introduce you to mine. He's been really amazing for my life. And if you're serving one that sucks, I'd love to introduce you to mine, because yours might be dead, mine's alive. You feel free to you know, walk out that walk of faith, however which way that you do that. We just ask for coexistence as far as, like, co-honor. Do you know what I mean? That we can honor each other's differences in our beliefs and be able to come together in a hotel in Atlanta, Georgia. The gay capital of the United States today, that we can all come together of all different faiths and all different types of backgrounds and all different types of beliefs and different political views, different financial views, different family views. But I like that we can all join together under a common goal, and that is to do better in our lives, to improve ourselves, to improve every area of our life. So does that apply to any of you? You want to improve your life, then you're in the right place. So I believe that you'll be able to take the principles that we're going to share. And that's outside. And someone needs help. Anybody needs help right about now. Anyway, so with that note, we are going to first start, as you can see, with this. I love having people at our house. I'm a mom of five and a grandmother of eight. I've traveled all over the world teaching and preaching delivering content to help people's lives improve after I was a former homeless cocktail waitress. And so it's been a privilege to be able to serve with Issa, actually. Her and I have actually traveled all over the world together. She has performed in front of 70,000 people in stadiums. She has a following all over the world. Our very first time, 2006, in Australia. We're on the beach on the Gold Coast of Australia, and someone is wearing her shirt. She had never, ever been to Australia. That was her very first time, and someone's walking by wearing her merchandise. And then we were in Tahiti, of all places. You want to talk about a tiny little island out in the middle of absolutely nowhere, man. Like, not an easy place to find. Sure enough, there we are in downtown Papeete, Tahiti, and there's somebody with her shirt. So she's got quite a following all over the place. People have shared her music. She has seven albums. So if you enjoy what you hear tonight, please take a piece of her with you. It's very, very powerful. Very powerful lyrics. She's written everything that is on all of her CDs. So she's not somebody just singing somebody else's songs. In fact, when you hear her sing some of her songs, you've heard other people sing her songs. That's when you know you're a good writer, is when other people are singing her songs. She has had hundreds of other musicians sing her music all over the globe. And so we're going to first start with this set. As I was saying, I'm a mom of five and a grandmother, and as my kids were growing up, we had a lot of live music in our house. We had five musicians in our house. We had five kids. All of them are musically inclined. My husband and I are not at all. Trust me, you don't want to hear me sing. And I can't play anything, even a banjo. No clue. Anyway, but our kids like play. Like, they play amazing. And so when we started doing these Saturday nights, January of 2005, I wanted to create my living room. I want people to come into my house. I want to cook for you. I want us to just enjoy some time together, just chatting about important things to keep us on track. And so anyway, that's how we're going to do it tonight. Issa is actually my spiritual daughter, and she has played live in my house too. So we're just going to start with a very powerful, very meaningful, just refreshing, short music set. So during music, some people like to dance. Some people like to shout. Some people like to put up their hands. Some people like to lay on the floor. Some people like to sit in their seat and be quiet. Some people, well, there was these two guys. There was these two guys back in our history, well, actually back in Israel, they both were found dancing naked, and they were kings. So the only thing I'm going to ask is just please keep your clothes on. That is the only rule that we have here tonight, is just don't dance naked before these guests of ours. It will really strongly hurt a few people. I'm sure you look great naked. However, comma, just keep your clothes on for us tonight. That would be great. So however it's way that you want to respond in music, we just ask you keep your clothes on.
Come on.
So, because some people take off in a concert, and this is a concert, and so, yeah, it's just, this isn't Israel. No crowd surfing. Yeah, and not naked. No naked crowd surfing. That would be even worse. Naked crowd surfing would, I'm sure it happens. It's not a good idea to do it here. I mean, these are Americans. I don't think they quite know how to respond to that. I mean, maybe the Australians who are watching, they know how to do that, but it just doesn't go over very well. I think that's called indecent exposure. There's a law about that, so we ask that you follow that law here tonight. Are we good with that? That's all good. All right, cool. The other thing, too, is that we would hope that you would honor what is taking place here tonight and don't have a meeting in the back. Come in here and get involved and get engaged in what we're doing. So please don't be like, you know, drawing attention to the back and trying to have conversations and trying to have some business meeting in the very back of the room. Let's just all participate and be a part of what's going to be happening tonight. After Issa is finished, then we are going to get into a teaching that has everything to do with division and unity and how to cross from one to the other. There's a lot of division in families today, with parents, spouses, a lot of division amongst siblings, churches, companies, government. Where is there not division today? We're in a very divided society. But just because our nations are divided, just because our churches are divided, just because our government is divided, doesn't mean you have to be divided. It doesn't mean that you have to continue the trend of division, which the whole point of division is to conquer, to divide, weaken, and conquer. And so just because everybody else around us is divided doesn't mean we have to be divided. So we're going to talk about how to go from this divisive place and move to a place of unity. How do we get the family to unify? How do we get the business to unify? How do we get the sales reps to unify? How do we get the church to unify? How do we get the people in our community to unify? How do we get there? We're going to be teaching straight from the best success book ever written tonight on how to do that. How many of you feel like that would be an important thing to learn? No question. Okay? So, if you want to stand, you can. If you don't, you don't have to. If you want to come up here, this is where I'm going to be. Leave me alone. But I'm going to be right here because I like to be right by her and him and him and him. And hi, dude. Good to see you again. You and I have gotten older, but you're still somehow in your 20s. I receive that. Thank you so much because I am not as young as I was back then. Anyway, if you don't mind, you might be totally offended by this, but I'm a praying mom. So bow your hairs and shut your eyes. I'm kidding. I'm going to pray a blessing over all of our families. Is that okay with you? You wouldn't mind someone saying something nice about you, would you? So, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that is Jesus, the Messiah, I thank you so very much for this night. I thank you, Father, for these precious, wonderful, amazing people who you have gathered on the internet, who you've captured on video, as well as the people who are here in the room. Father, I pray that you bless every single family member. I pray, Father, that you bless every single head of the household. Every mother. I pray that you bless every child. I pray that you bless every business that is represented here and abroad. Father, I pray that the division that is happening inside of our nations and homes, that you would shore those things up tonight. Father, I pray that you unify us under your precious Son, that you unify us under your Holy Spirit, and that you bring to pass your perfect will. Father, that you bring to pass our destiny, which is not division, that our destiny is about unifying. Father, I pray that you would seal up the four corners of this property, that you would put a hedge of protection around us. Father, I pray that your love would surround us, that your endurance would surround us, your patience would surround us. Father, I pray that you move our hearts in the places where it needs to be moved, and that we leave tonight not the same in which that we came in. Father, I tear down every religious stronghold that would hinder anybody from hearing what you would have to say tonight. Father, I pray that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart that can perceive everything that you desire for us to get. Father, move us and move in us. Move through every single one of us, that the earth below us would shake our foundations that are not solidly placed on the rock, but are placed on quicksand. Father, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us to set up a high place of worship right here in the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Father, that we ask that every crooked way be made straight. Father, we ask that every stronghold that is in this city comes down, and that you rise up in this place, and that it is declared that this city, that this nation, that the nations of which are represented here watching from abroad, that it is all about you, that you establish your kingdom in this place. We ask these things in the name of your amazing, beautiful, wondrous Son, Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen.
Amen.
Go.
Well, I haven't done this in a while, but this city is really, I have a lot of history in the city. And a lot of it has to do with my music, and I wanted to give some CDs out to someone who doesn't have my... Come here, honey.
Yes.
And I have another set that I want to give away. I want to introduce this awesome band before we start. And on electric is Sam Bart, and Sam Bart's been around for a while. And he's... he's on electric, and he's amazing. And... on keys, we have Matthew Klein, who just came back from serving our country. Thank you. On bass, this time we have Chad Ketcher. Chad's been doing sound, and he also does the writing and marketing of King's Ransom. So, King's Ransom Foundation. And then, which you guys will probably hear more about a little later. On drums, we have my awesome friend, Mr. Keller.
Peter
Keller. And have a lot of history with him. I actually, the first time I met him was when he was 8 years old. And yeah, so.
That's right.
He actually came to the studio with me to when we were recording In the Waiting, which is the second CD that I have. And the drummer there inspired him, and now he's playing drums. So there you go.
Nice.
All right.
These are my two sons. Well, I didn't make them by myself. But this is Hans and my sons. This one is Roman. Amazing young man who's kept his commitment of honor and honoring a young woman getting married in how many days and hours? 6 days. He'll be a married man. Really excited for him. And this is our youngest, number five. This is number four. This is number five. The last two that I don't know. For those of you who are like, no, we're done. We're done having kids. That was my husband. Before these two. We cannot imagine our life without these two. We cannot imagine our life. So if you think you're done, don't be stupid and close-minded. Because if we stayed done, the world would have missed out on two powerful warrior men that walk with their God, who carry wisdom, who are far advanced beyond their years, who have gifting and talent and leadership, who are influencers on people's lives who are twice and three times their age. That's who these two are. And our world would have missed out if we were done having kids. So go make some babies. Thank you. I don't know. No, I don't know next. Not planned. Aren't they handsome as all get out? They're beautiful. If you ever get the chance to talk to them. Okay, Mona. Somebody radio Mona, please. This shock collar is going off like every 5 minutes. I heard a laugh. That was not her. Somebody needs to adjust it, or I'm going to take it off and throw it. I don't need it every 5 minutes. I know I might seem like I need it every 5 minutes. Friends, I am compelled to share with you part of my journey, because my journey is all about division and disunity and dysfunction. I grew up in a home where there was a lot of violence and a lot of abuse. I was molested from the time I was 3 until I was 16 by 3 different individuals. I felt like there was no safe place for me. When I got introduced to a faith-based message, I happened to be in a room with a bunch of other kids that were my age, 13, 14 years old, and a few that were younger. It was an eighth grade class. And I heard a message that was given by the school principal. And I had never heard a message like this before in my life. Growing up in a house where there was a big cloud of weed smoke everywhere, all day long, into the night when I went to bed. My parents snorting lines, needles in the house, big bags of pills. Do you understand? They were not a family that went to church. In fact, the man that raised me was an atheist and my mother was agnostic. So my dad spoke very clearly about how he felt about people that wore a cross around their neck, carried a Bible to a building with a steeple once a week. He absolutely hated those people. And to be quite honest with you, I totally understand why. How many of you have encountered some people that carry that book, wear that necklace, and go to that building that you've experienced some not very nice people? Anybody? So in his experience, he saw it to be a sham, a scam, hypocrites, liars, who had all the same problems that he had. He was just up front with his, and they were hiding theirs. So my experience in the home was not only a godless home, but one that hated God's people. So when I was 13 years old, I heard a message given by Leilani Guido. She was a school principal of a tiny little school. My dad found some love letters in my nightstand 2 months into my eighth grade year at a brand new school. We lived in LA. We moved up to a place called Palo Cedro, California, which is about 7 miles east of Redding, California, which is in the north, surrounded by beautiful mountains. And in that little tiny town, in that little tiny place, my dad finds these letters, and the very next day, he puts us in a private Christian school of the people that he hated. Why? We had to wear dresses. There was 8 people in my class. We were going to be under lockdown and watched the entire time we were there. It was super strict. And because he loved us, he took myself and my 2 sisters and put us in that school. Even though I saw it as control and punishment, he wanted the best. And I'll never forget the day where he said, "I don't want you to end up pregnant like your mother did. So you're going to go to this school." Guess where I got pregnant? My senior year, just like my mother did, from a guy from that Christian school. So it was, October of 1982. Right here, October. I'm sitting in the back. I'm the new kid in class. I am confident I smell like weed because my parents smoked joints dropping us off at school. Do you understand? I'm the last kid that any of you wanted your kids playing with because my parents did all those drugs. So we were the kids that were treated like we smelled bad. Do you understand? We were the kids that you tell your kids don't go around those 3 little girls. That's who we were. Now, this whole private school thing was a new thing to us because prior to my mom breaking her neck, we were on welfare. So now I'm 13 years old. They've got enough money. They have like a house that's beyond 800 square feet. We're living in this little tiny town, and now we're going to a school that we have to wear dresses. I hear this message. It was profound. I began to cry, just weep uncontrollably, like almost wondering, like, where do I turn the switch off? It's not stopping. I was that hard. I was that hard little girl. You have to think about it. I was molested. I was violently abused. I was screamed at daily. My mom almost died in my arms. My mom comes back from a surgery and she's paralyzed from the neck down. She dove into a swimming pool coming to play with us. Me specifically, Danette, I'm coming to get you. All four, spread eagle, face down. I thought she was playing around. I turn her over, she flips back over, her eyes are white. You can't even see what her eyes were because they were all the way back in her head. Looked like a horror movie. I went through all that trauma, and I haven't even scratched the surface of the trauma I had as a child. I'm just giving you a couple of bullet points. The kind of trauma I suffered from is the kind of trauma that you kill yourself over. Which I tried the first time when I was 6 years old to commit suicide. So here I'm hearing this message. And I had been stoic when my mom broke her neck. Stoic when I was molested. Stoic being beaten. And I'm sitting in the back, bawling. Mrs. Guido comes over. Danette, do you want to meet Jesus? Yes, was my answer that October. And he really became my everything. He really became my safe place. He really became my comforter. He really became my strong tower. He really became my healer that day. Even though I had dyslexia, I'd grab my Bible, run off into the fields by myself, try to open it up, couldn't understand a darn thing I was reading. But I just began to talk to him and cry out to him, tell him how I felt about what was going on. Telling him, I know I'm doing this praying thing wrong, but I hope you can hear me. I want to die. Please rescue me out of this home. Please help my parents to come to know you. Please change my life. I did my best to pray, to attempt to read. I fumbled. I did what a lot of young kids do. I got influenced into wrong places with the deacon's son, specifically a lake, one summer night of 1986. And our very first time together, I conceived my oldest child, who's now 30. Immediately after getting pregnant, here it all came. She's a harlot. She seduced him. He would have never ended up with someone like her. With his parents saying, do not get married to both of us. You two are not getting married. There was a lot that happened inside of this experience. I don't want to go into any details tonight. I've gone into it many times. Thousands of people have heard this story from me and from my daughter. But what I can tell you is the pain of the judgment from the church hurt me more than watching my mom nearly die, hurt me more than my stepfather beating me, my sisters, and my mother. The judgment from the church hurt me more deeply than being molested at 3 and then at 7 and then as a teenager for 4 years. The judgment from the church hurt me more and even my first husband abandoning me and leave me with $2.03 in my name and a $35,000 debt. The judgment from the church and being outcasted hurt me more than everything that had traumatized me prior to that moment. More deeply than all of those things combined. Now, if we were to go ask those people if they would say, did you outcast her? They would all say no. No, not at all. Perspective. Maybe some of them know exactly the level of manipulation to try to get my baby out of my hands and put the baby in somebody else's hands. The kind of condemning words. The shutting of me out. And as soon as everything happened and everyone got their way, poof, they were all gone. That pain and that suffering, I brought on myself in all reality. We are a divided nation today. We are a hurting people today. We are a people who've been let down, and we're mad about it. We are people who've been led into confusion, and we're mad about it. There seems to be that no matter where we turn, there seems to be that there's no peace. There seems to be that we just continue to find people that are untrustworthy in some way. How many of you have been let down from people that probably should not have let you down? I have a question for you. How many of you are one of those people that should not have let somebody else down, and yet you let them down? We've all done this. When I was 21, I started a business from the trunk of my car in a payphone booth, and this is the thing that just blows my mind. And on Christmas Day, the high and lofty one, the one that I walked away from when I was 18, when I said, God, if I have to be like your people, I want nothing to do with you. Your people, you can fill in the blanks. Just fill it all in. All the wonderful language that I learned as a little one in the house that I grew up in. And I jumped on the side with my stepfather, and I started carrying the banner of, you can't trust those religious people. You can't trust those people that wear that cross around their neck and carry that Bible and go to that building. I campaigned along with that man. Why? For the same reason. I was hurt. He was hurt. He was outcasted. He was shut out. Because why? Because he had a past and felt judged because of the mistakes that he had made in the past. Even though the Bible is very crystal clear about who the Messiah came to save. Even though it's crystal clear who he came to whip their backsides, which was the religious Pharisees. Those suckers got whipped by him. But the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the thieves received forgiveness, love, and mercy. So, the man that raised me, he'd experienced that same pain. So I'm campaigning. And I campaigned for like a year and a half, real strongly. I campaigned so strong that I actually got involved in witchcraft. I did. And I taught a lot of other people how to do witchcraft too. It was fun, these neat little seances with an abalone shell and some sage. We'd blow out in our office. It smelled like weed. Big clouds before we would have our clients come into our office, and we'd be warring off evil spirits. Little did I know we were inviting them all in. That was fun to get delivered from, I'm telling you what. Lots of fun. So on my birthday, March 2nd of 1994, we land on the Big Island of Hawaii. We're picked up by my husband's best friend, Chris. He's inviting us to go to church, and you can only imagine what came out of my mouth. You can only imagine. All the wonderful, colorful, four-letter words that start with F and C and B and S and P. Do I need to keep going? Do y'all have an idea of the kind of words that flew out of my mouth as I get an invitation to come to church? How many of you have ever used any one of those four-letter words that begin with any one of those letters? Now, you would think I'd have been struck down, right? But here, the high and lofty one, the lover of our souls, that even while I was homeless at 21, he, the Holy One, spoke to me saying, pick up your mat and walk. And I did. And that same voice the next day guided me to start a business from the trunk of my car and a payphone booth, which he blessed. and made $250,000 the first year, $1 million by the end of my second year. The high and lofty one. Merciful, loving father, guiding a daughter who is not going to church. Not going to wear that cross around her neck. Certainly not going to touch that book. But yet he, and all of my stuff, loved and wooed me. My husband's martial arts instructor and first wealth mentor named Damien Wong in Hawaii. His wife died 3 weeks before we landed on the island. So that's why the invitation came for church. You know how these guys who their wives die, they use every opportunity to get everyone that won't go to church to come to church? That was Damien. And it worked. We get invited. I am cussing and screaming and kicking. No, no, no. They're like, dude, chill out. I'm manifesting like a principality of darkness on my way to the church. And there's this preacher who's spitting and sweating and spitting and sweating. Sweating some more and spitting some more. Sweating some more and spitting some more. He's like jumping up and down on the stage. I'm like, what a freak. I'm looking around the room and people, you know, there was music. People are crying. They get their hands. I'm like, what a bunch of losers. These people need to get a life. They're so duped and deceived. They're so stupid. Can't believe they're buying into this stupid act. That was me, man. With my feet on the seats in front of me, my arms crossed, closed heart, closed mind, closed ears, judging everybody in the room as though I was the chief authority here. All at 24. Bottom line, well, at the end of that night, somehow something sank in and there was an invitation to make your heart right with God. I stood to my feet and I started weeping uncontrollably all over again. And I had been rekindled with my first love. I had come back to my father who said, come back to me. And I remember crying out to him and saying, but I am afraid. He says, don't look to man. Just look to me. Don't look to man. Just look to me. Don't look to man. Look to me. My mistake was I was looking at man and I stopped looking to him. And that's how I lost my way from 13 to 18 years old. And from 18 to 24, I was lost as they get. And I mean lost. Really bad. Doing all kinds of fun, terrible things. Because they were fun, terrible things. They seemed fun at the time. The payment for them later was painful. Not fun, terrible. So I've been walking with my father because he sent his son to die for me. And he came, his son came on this earth to reconcile me and you to him, that we would walk with our father, that we would know who he is, that we would understand that he's not like most of our earthly fathers, although some of you have amazing earthly fathers, as I do, my biological father. I love with everything that is in me. And some of us have some fathers that were growing up at the same time you were growing up, like the man that raised me was growing up at the same time I was growing up. And somehow we have an expectation for those fathers to be perfect. And sadly, we compare our father in heaven to our earthly father here on earth. And we have an expectation of perfection for our earthly fathers to live up to. And all we do is set them up for failure. But they are much like us, some of them just 18 years older than us. Some of our fathers are only 22 years older than us. Some of them are 30 years older than us. There's really not that big of a difference in age. We're all still growing up. I have a question for you. How many of you are 40 years old or older? Are you still trying to grow up? That's what I thought. Guess what? Me too. When I look at those two hairy men that came out of my body, I'm like, how did that happen? I'm still trying to grow up. And here they are, grown men. And that's kind of how life is. So I tell you my story to tell you this. Some of you can identify with where I've come from. Some of you have been outcasted, you've been judged. Specifically, I want to talk to both who have judged and who have been judged. Because that's largely what's going on in our country right now. And it's a sad thing. I am personally living proof of Jeremiah 32:27, where he says in Jeremiah 32:27, I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? I am the God of all flesh, but I can't forgive my father. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? But I can't forgive my mother who didn't protect me. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? I'm in a mess. I'm homeless. I'm in debt. Those people hurt me. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult? But I have all this debt, but I'm failing in my career. But my husband and I hate each other. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult? But I have cancer. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? But I have failed so many times. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? But those people hurt me. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? I can't find a job. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? I keep screwing up. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? But I have dyslexia. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? My wife left me. My wife cheated. My husband cheated. I'm being abused. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? But I was molested dozens of times. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? I don't know how to grow my career. I don't know. I don't have the skills. I suck at everything. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? What God are you serving? But my house was foreclosed on. Say it with me. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? But my back hurts. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? But I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know what I'm here for. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? But I have addictions to pornography. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? But I'm so young. I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult? But I'm old. Whatever your excuse is, he says to you, I am the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? And what's the answer? There is no matter that is too difficult for him. So what matters are you holding on to? And what matters have you made to be bigger in your mind than him? What issues have you built up to be bigger than him? Because he's above all things. All things. He's in the disasters. And I'm going to show you something. We're a divided people today. We're a hurting people today. He says in Jeremiah 7:22, 24, and 25, he says, obey my voice. Which means that he actually talks to us. He says, obey my voice. He wouldn't say, obey my voice in Jeremiah 7:22 if he wasn't talking to us. So now the real question is, are you listening, or what voice are you listening to? What voice are you listening to? He gives us instruction. He's talking to us. And he says, if you listen to my voice, then I shall be your God, and you are my people. He says, incline your ear. I have even sent my servants, the prophets, daily, raising up early. I'm sending them so that you will hear me. He desperately wants you to listen to him. Just as all fathers want their children to listen. Your Father in heaven, who actually is the one who birthed you on this planet for this time, for such this time, he made you. He knitted you in your mother's womb. He brought you forth. He desperately wants you to hear his voice. But there's another voice in your life. And that voice is the voice of the accuser. And the word accuser in Hebrew is Satan. Literal translation. The Hebrew word Satan literally means, Satan means accuser. That's the definition of the word, the accuser. I find it very interesting that for some reason our Greek translators, the only name in the entire Bible that they kept in Hebrew was Satan. All the other names, they changed them. Every single one of them, all the way down to Jesus, which his Hebrew name is Yeshua. All the way down to the name of God that they took, the translators took out of the Bible. They gave him the same term they called their other 30,000 gods, God. His name is Yahweh. It's his Hebrew name. He has a Hebrew name. He has a Hebrew identity, Yahweh. They took that out. They gave him the term. They gave him title of God instead of the name, Yahweh. Yeshua, all of them. Yirmiyahu, that's Jeremiah. Eliyahu, that's Elijah. Elisha is Elisha. Changed all the names. The only name the Greek translators did not change was Satan. Don't you think that's strange? Isn't that, why that? Why did they keep that one? Like, out of all the Hebrew names, because this is a Hebrew Bible, these are all Hebrew people that are being talked about, changed every single one of them except for Satan. Well, oh well, oh well. It's food for thought. Chew on it. So, accuser. So the accuser accuses day and night. That's another voice that you hear. And tell me, what does the accuser say to you? What does the accuser sound like? You're not good enough. What else? There's no hope. You messed up again. You are broken. Damaged goods. Dirty. Filthy. What else? Come on, tell me. Huh? No, but what does he say? What does the accuser say? Kill yourself. You're never going to get any better. Oh, you're the best. No one is as good as you. It's true. That is a real good one. They will never find out. Ooh, that's good. How many of you bit the hook of that one before? Yeah, what happened? They all found out. They all found out. You too, huh? Yeah, they all found out was on the, yeah, on the inside of your body that swelled, and everyone found out. Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, it was bad. Okay, what else? What else does the accuser say? It's not going to work. It's never going to work.
Everybody else does it.
Why not you?
It's okay. It's just a little bit.
Say what? It's their fault.
I'll do it tomorrow.
Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. That's good. This one piece of pie will not make the difference. It's only one bite. It's only one. Uh-huh. What else does the accuser say? Go, oh, God does not love you. You're too far gone.
You're a bad mom.
You're a bad mom. Yeah. You're not worth it. You're never going to be worth it. You're too much to handle. You're too overwhelming. You got the wrong personality. You're just like your father, but that's not the words that he says. So tell me what that sounds like. Well, ask the father to tell you how the accuser is talking to you. Say what? You just married the wrong person.
You have a good reason why you're depressed.
You have a good reason why you're depressed. That's good. You will never get out of debt. You will never make any more money. You will never be financially sound. You'll never change. Sounds like you all are pretty good friends with the accuser. Sounds like you know his voice really, really well. You will never get the skills you need. It's all your fault. You can't afford it. You don't need that. You can do it yourself. Oh, if you just work a little bit harder. That's a good one. Oh, yes! I like the way you even said that. Like, I need a microphone. You have heard that one before. And something tells me you bit that hook, too. Go ahead. Listen. Poop. Sorry, it's better than what I used to say.
This is going to feel so good.
Oh. How many of you bit that hook? It won't hurt. Yeah, no one. I like the way she said it. Nobody will find out. That's the Southern way. Join me, the accuser. No one will like you if you don't. Wow, you deserve this. Say what? The best is behind you. God is mad at you. Just one more drink. Just one more time. Just one more needle. Like I said, just one more bite of the pie. No one will like you if you show them who you really are. Say again. That's right. And what did you say? I don't love you. Huh?
Marry children.
We don't marry children. That's good. That's good advice if the accuser said something like that. Although there are some children in here who got married as a child. Yeah.
If you will just pray harder and have more faith.
If you would just pray harder and have more faith. That's unforgivable. You're not spending enough time with God. You're the best out there. You're the best in the whole room. Unwanted. Who do you think you are? All right, let's pause. It sounds to me like you have an up close, up front personal relationship with the accuser. Now, here's what's interesting. Is that when we entertain the voice of the accuser, we stop entertaining the voice of our God. When we entertain the voice of the accuser, then we begin to be used by the accuser. How many of you have felt the brunt of false accusations coming from other people? You know I have. Right? My entire career. You cannot be in this profession and not be slaughtered by people. It's impossible. Yeah, some people are so funny, like, oh, one day I want to do what Danny's doing. You better have the cojones and a whole lot of thick skin to do this. This profession can bury you. From what? The insecurities and false accusations of other people. Dealing with insecurities is my job. My job is being in front of a bunch of fearful, insecure people who have a lot of judgment and hate your guts the minute you step on stage. I have a little secret to tell you. I really like sleeves. I'm not talking about clothing. I'm talking about tats. I like it. I'm telling you right now that if I did not have my job, this arm would be beautifully covered right down to there. That's how it'd be. Just bam. It would. My husband says, why won't you do it? I said, are you kidding me? The minute I step on stage, I already have 70% of the room that hates my guts. I don't need to give them another reason. I don't need to give them another reason. Even though what would be on my arm? Scripture. It'd just be all scripture and everything that sounds, that proclaims the love, the faithfulness, the forgiveness, the relentless, the rescuing of my Father. It would be my story is what would be all over my arm of what he has done in my life. Why don't you take my job for a couple of months and then you decide whether or not it's worth it? I am already jacked up. Once I get a solid head of gray hair, then I might have a little more acceptance and grace from other people. But for now, I got 50 in here everywhere. So when we entertain the voice of the accuser, we give then our voice over for the accuser. And we begin to speak on behalf of the accuser. And we falsely crucify somebody else's character. And the accuser is rooted in self-righteousness. You see, Satan, his story, is that he wanted to be better than God. This was self-righteousness. He wanted to be bigger. He wanted to be more holy. He wanted to be worshipped. So that's all self-righteousness is what that is. Self-exaltation is what that is. And had judgment against God. Why does he get to be the best? I'm better than he is. That's who's using us when we accuse our spouse, when we falsely accuse our children, when we falsely accuse our boss's motives, when we falsely accuse our sales force, when we falsely accuse our family members, our parents, when we falsely accuse our politicians, when we falsely accuse the people we know and the ones we don't know. Our mouths are now an agent and an ambassador of the chief self-righteous accuser, which is Satan himself. Yeshua came against all of those people who judged. And he said, judge not lest you become what you judge. That's what he said. Judge not, lest you become what you judge. And he says, in the exact same measure in which you judge, you will be judged. Scary. In the exact same measure in which you judge, the same measure, think about that, friend, the same measure, how harsh you are to judge somebody's skin color, how harsh you are to judge somebody's sexual preference, how harsh you are to judge race or denomination of a church, how harsh you are, the same measure is coming right back to you. Can that be canceled? She asks. I would like to know, how do I cancel that thing that I did? Where's the reset button, please? Where can I hit erase? How can I catch that thing back out of my mouth? It's a great question. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. You see, I'm going to talk about Galatians 5:1 while you're turning there. In Galatians 5:1, it shows that he came to set us free for the sake of being free. And he says, do not return back to a yoke of bondage. Judgment is bondage. Judgment, I need a volunteer. I don't want to hurt anybody physically. You're a big guy. You're coming up here. AJ, right?
That's me. We met earlier, remember?
How did you think I remembered your name, handsome?
Oh, okay.
I said AJ, right?
Yes, you did.
You work with Chris Stallings.
What was your name again?
I can't
just
remember.
Kidding.
I'm trying to learn my name still.
I'm just kidding.
Nice to meet you, AJ.
Yes,
again.
Again.
Right? So judgment is a yoke. Do you know what a yoke is? A yoke.
Yeah.
You know what a yoke is?
Yeah, it goes around your neck. Oh, yeah. Golly.
You see?
Should I?
Now I'm tied to you. I'm actually tied. Mike, it's a tail. You're about to throw me down? Let's try that again.
No, I can't. I can't.
You're right. You can't. No. Woo! No. That was awesome. I felt light as a feather. Let's do that again. Okay, that was awesome. So my point is, with this demonstration, catching him off guard the first time, not off guard the second time, I'm going to catch you now,
okay.
Is that when I judge, I am now yoked to the bondage of judgment. And how I judge is now going to follow me everywhere. And I'm going to take it with me. And I'm yoked to this thing. Yeah, where are we going now, he says. Okay, where are we going now? Okay. When you judge, you're yoked until you break by stopping that evil tongue that we so easily divide families with, that we so easily divide businesses with, that we easily divide children and their parents with, that we easily divide husband and wife, easily divide the church of God. Give him a hand as he goes back. It's awesome. I have to ask you a question. Was that easy to lift me up like that?
Yeah.
That's so awesome. You're strong, but I'm also a lot lighter than I used to be. Okay. Just for the record, he picked up 134.2 pounds. Just whipped it up like it was nothing. I feel safe. How you doing, Harper? That's an inside joke. So Ephesians 4, verse 1 says, therefore I, the prisoner of God, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. With all humility, underline it, with all humility, underline the next one, and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity, underline that, of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The answer for the question is right inside the verse. It's right here. How in the world do I stop? In all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance. So let's go here. What does it take to become unified? What does it take to be unified? There is nothing, the Bible says, that when man is unified, there is nothing they cannot accomplish. That's what the Bible clearly says. When the Tower of Babel was being built, right? And God said, we better scatter their tongues because look at these guys. They are unified. And as they are unified, there is nothing that is impossible for them. Nothing's impossible for them when they are unified. Then Yeshua said, when he walked the earth 2,000 years ago, he said, where two or more are gathered and agree on anything. Where two or more are gathered and agree on anything, he says, I am there and it is done. I am there and it is done. They agree on anything. It's done. There's no more questions. It's done. Done. Finished. Already finished, sealed, over. So how do we become unified? How do we get to a place of agreement? Amos wrote, can two walk along together unless they agree? So he said, they have to agree in order to walk with each other. The first place of unity is between you and your Father in heaven. It takes him for you to be unified. It's impossible for you to be a unifier without his Spirit. Why? Because he is the chief unifier. So if you walk with him, that's like step one in the right direction. But when it comes to man and being unified with man, we have to understand that also the Bible tells us that iron sharpens iron. Which is what? Tell me, what is iron that sharpens iron? What's iron that sharpens iron? What's iron that sharpens iron? Friction. Conflict. Heat. Conflict. 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 Iron sharpens iron. It's conflict. 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 Now, we have two types of people in here. We have those who are much like myself that try to avoid conflict at all costs. I just want everyone to be happy. I just want everyone to love each other. If only everyone could just get along. Let me see where you are. And then there's the other side that loves a good fight. There's a lot of people lying in the room. Conflict. If we avoid conflict, it's impossible to be unified. Because there's no iron of the sharpening of iron. Conflict is designed to bring unity. Conflict is designed to bring unity. Conflict is designed to bring unity. And if we avoid conflict, are we unified? No, we're hugging the sides of the bed, the opposite sides of the bed. If we're avoiding conflict, there's that big giant pink elephant in the middle of the room at work that everyone knows is there, but no one wants to talk about. That same pink elephant Kevin is going to be at Thanksgiving here in a few weeks. Right? That big pink elephant, everyone smells that nasty thing. Everyone sees that ugly thing. And yet everyone's pretending that it does not exist. Conflict is designed to bring unity. So what ends up happening when man avoids conflict, now we are so ticked at each other that now we create contention and strife. And strife happens to be one of the seven things that God says in Psalms that he hates. He hates strife. Hates contention. But conflict, he's the designer of it. He is. Let me ask you, ladies who ever pushed a child out of your body, raise your hand. Was there some conflict happening with your body and another human body trying to come out? That's nothing but conflict. That man that you loved, by the time you reached that third stage of deliverance of this child, you wanted to kill him. Why did you do this to me? We've been taught that rather than hitting the conflict head on, run, hide, take cover, gather with each other that all agree with you, and let's gossip. Let's be contentious, and let's strive with each other. Number two, humility versus judgment. Which one will take us to unity? Humility or judgment? Which one takes us to unity? Humility or judgment? Humility. We all know that. Humility takes us to unity. Judgment takes us to contention and striving. Assuming we know how someone thinks, assuming how we know how somebody else feels, is rooted in self-righteousness and judgment and pride. So when we tell people, I know what you're thinking, I know how you feel, and we use those words, we're being used by the accuser himself, and we are feeding contention and strife versus walking in the humility of our Father, the humility of his Son, to come into the conflict and say three simple words. Do you know what they are? I am sorry. I'm sorry. And I was wrong. Come on, you can say it. Come on, come on. Whoa, 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 what? Whoa. Come on, come on. We can do it. It takes humility to say that. It takes humility to say that. And it's when we come into that place of conflict and we own our own crap and we admit that we use about 10% of our brain. There's some people that like to argue with that statement. I know I used less than 10% of my brain. How many of you forget things? How many of you walk into a room and don't remember why you went in there? How many of you start a sentence and forget how to finish it? How many of you forget to use the script book? It's about 10% of your brain. How many of you have learned new skills and forgot to use them? Yeah, wait, let me see. How many of you exchange vows in front of other people promising to cherish, to hold, to care for, to love in sickness and in health? And how many of you forgot the day he or she left the cap of the toothpaste on the sink? Forgot. Forgot. And how many of you wrote a nasty note? You sent videos. I love you. So, humility is something that we have to practice. It's something we have to choose to walk in. That if you're walking in humility, you are walking with God. If you are walking in judgment and needing to be right, you are walking with the accuser, Satan himself. Number three, acceptance of differences versus putting your differences on someone else. Accepting somebody's differences versus trying to make the other person have your differences. Because after all, you are the organized one. And after all, they are messy. So it is my job to teach you how to be organized just like me. Or maybe you're the fun one and you love to laugh and you love to have parties, and the person you're with that you're married to or your boss, they hate those things. And so you take it upon yourself to say, you need to be more like me. I'm much lighter on life. I have a good time, and you're boring. So let me teach you how to have fun. Who has ever tried this method? Now, please tell me where the humility is in any of that. Where's the humility? Is there humility if you are bent and trying to teach your way? And to bend someone else to your way of living and thinking. Is that humility? What is it? What is it? It's arrogance. It's pride. It's self-righteousness. You're actually good at something that you didn't make yourself good at. God made you that way. He made you good in that fun department, or he made you good in that organized department. And somehow you think that everyone needs to be like you. You holier than thou, accuser of the brethren. So acceptance brings unity. That is something that we have so strong in our core values. It's something that we have so strong in my family. My husband and I work hard on acceptance, accepting anybody. I have a sister who has a completely different set of values in some areas. Her and I have 100% agreement on how to raise children. We have 100% agreement about correction with the children. We have 100% agreement with teaching them how to be good, healthy citizens. The only thing that my sister and I do not have agreement on is that she prefers women as her partner. And she was married to a woman. And she had children with a woman. You're like, how did that happen? It's called a turkey baster. It is. Literally is turkey baster. So, however, in no way have I ever judged my sister for her sexual preference. My sister, I love her the same way I love, and I have a lot of sisters. Hello, I'm Nicaraguan. My father had 7 of us, 5 girls, 2 boys. Then my mom had 2 girls. So that is 7 sisters, okay? I love my sister who has been to this event, just like I love my sister Maria, who has been married 4 times. 5? 4 times. She might have just got married for the 5th time. Did she just get married for the 5th time? Ralph's number 5. 5 is the number for grace. It's gonna work. I love my sister Maria. I love my sister Cynthia. My sister Rhonda is a drug addict. I love my sister Rhonda. and I have compassion on my sister who has tracks in her arms. Who has tracks in her arms. Who is a twig and gnaws at her teeth. I love her. I love her the same way I love my sister who was married to a girl. I love her the same way I love my sister who's been married four times. I love them just like I love my sister in Missouri who hates my guts and doesn't think I think I'm her sister. Love her, pray for her, knowing one day that God is going to reconcile that relationship. Acceptance brings unity. Acceptance brings unity. What drove my sister to her difference of sexual preference was the hatred towards men. She's the one who found our brother hanging in his closet at 12 years old. She was eight. Yeah, she was eight. She's the one that walked into the room and he said he was going to do it. And she didn't tell anybody. And she walked into the room and found her older brother, the one that she loved, the one that she played with, the one that she admired, first to find him. That'll kind of mess with your head a little bit. She blamed my father. She distrusted men from that point forward and made the decision that men were not trustworthy. And guess what? I get that. I get that. I understand that pain. I get it. And my poor sister suffers still to this day. She still cries to me over the phone about that suffering that happened when she was 8 years old. But you know what happens in other bigoted families? Is that when one decides that they're going to go in another direction, many will outcast the one. I know one of our clients who also had the same kind of preference, but he was a guy, and he preferred men. And he loved God with his whole heart, and yet he struggled with this area of his life. And there were two people in his life that loved him unconditionally. Just two. Two sets. His best friend never once treated him any different from the time that here this loving Christian guy who grew up in church, who grew up in all the church camps and church functions, who knew all the worship songs, who struggled with this issue in his life. And when he finally came out and he told his very best friend said, "I still love you. Nothing changes between you and me." And he loved that man with the same love, honor, and respect that he did before he knew about the struggle. And this client of ours went headstrong into that whole other world and that whole other lifestyle. And the other set that never treated him any different was his parents. His parents never once judged him. They didn't treat him any different. That, my friend, is a unified heart with the heart of the Father. That's a unified heart that says, "I'm going to love you no matter who you're sleeping with. I'm going to love you no matter what you're shooting in your veins. I'm going to love you no matter how many choices you make that are completely against the values in which you were raised in. I'm going to love you and I'm going to stand with you no matter where you go and who you go with. I am still going to be here to love you." So his parents and his best friend and this community right here, people that are in this room, this young man came to First Step Success 5 years ago on a Saturday night, gives his life back to God, ends up then continuing to struggle, but working on it, working on it, working on it, completely gets healed and delivered. Why? Because he didn't want to walk in that direction anymore. He didn't want to go in that direction anymore. That's the only reason. He made the decision. Someone didn't talk him out of that life. No, we loved him as we have loved the many who have come through these doors that live that life. And that life is their life. And guess what? That life is the same life you've lived. The same sexual immorality, the same sex out of marriage, the same porn addictions that are hidden in this room. The same drug addictions, alcohol addictions, the same exact food addictions, shopping addictions, the same hoarding addictions, the same narcissistic addictions, all the same crap that is right here in this room. We love. We accept. That says tolerance and acceptance to all. Not all that are perfect. Not all that act right. Not all that do right. Not all that are sinless. Are you kidding me? Those footnotes are not in that Bible. Acceptance of all. Tolerance of all. Protecting the unity in the Spirit and the bond of peace. You see, it is pride that wants to use the Bible to beat someone up and to tell them that they're in sin. It is pride that wants to use the Bible to try to control somebody and make them feel like they're not accepted. But the last time I checked, that book extended its love to the people that man seems to outcast. So this young man's parents loved him as though he never told them what he struggled with. They loved him. They didn't treat him any different than they treated their other three sons. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That son, who was a prodigal son, because of the love and acceptance of his parents and the love and the acceptance of his best friend and the love and acceptance of this community, just got married to a woman and is planning to have children. Now, if we were like every other community that's out there that's saying, you're not wanted here, you're one of those people, well, then I could have never invited my sister to this event. She came about a year ago. I could have never confidently invited my sister, who has an obvious way about her that says she prefers that lifestyle. I would have never showed her to everybody, hugged her in front of everybody. 1,000 people were in the room. And guess what? My love will never change for my sister, ever. I feel her pain and the struggle in which that is inside of her and the trauma that she suffered through as an 8-year-old kid. And I have no intention of trying to change my sister in any way. You know why? The sister I have, she's a better mother than most women who go to church. My sister is a better mother and has stronger morals than a lot of people that I know who go to church. That's crazy, is it not? So listen, what's your sin? What's yours? I'll tell you, could be judgment. It could be judgment. It could be intolerance of people's skin color. It could be intolerance of a different style of worship that somebody has. You will never win people over to your way of thinking. You will never create unity by judgment. You will never create unity by exalting yourself higher than what they are and raising yourself above someone else. The last time I checked, that Bible from cover to cover is a message of humility. It's a message of humility. And the ones who are going to be harshly judged are those of us that know how we're supposed to act and we choose not to. Those of us that know the knowledge of God, that know that we are supposed to love, and we choose to cast out and judge. Now, there's a bunch of you in this room that you have been casted out because, I don't know, maybe you wanted to change churches. I don't know. Maybe because you wanted to go towards a profession that you felt in your spirit you're supposed to go to. I don't know. Maybe you were making a flippant decision and headed straight for a disaster. How many have ever done that? And no one could stop you from doing it. How many of you have done that? And how many of you have been judged for it? Number 4, shaming somebody for their beliefs, for their convictions, for their preferences, for their view on life just sows bad seed. That's all it does. It sows bad seed. It doesn't result in unity. What results in unity is love. Love covers all. Love bears all. Love endures all. Love. Have you ever experienced love? If you've experienced love, you've experienced forgiveness. And if you've experienced forgiveness for a wicked, nasty, terrible thing that you've done, then it is easier for you to extend that to somebody else. The Bible says sin is sin. That's what it says. Sin is sin. The Bible also says that we don't have the right to judge any man's heart. We don't have the right to judge any man's heart. We don't have the right to condemn someone to hell. You and I are not qualified for that. And yet we hear out of people's mouths, those people are going to hell. We'll see who's there. I just hope I ain't. I've watched some of our other clients who are a part of a very strong religious community, that because they felt the drawing out of that community, they lost their businesses, they lost their parents, they lost their families, they lost their aunts, their uncles, they lost their cars, they lost their houses, they lost jobs, they lost everything because they wanted to seek God in a different church. There's many in this room right now who suffered the loss of everything they were familiar with because they felt a calling outside of everything that they had ever known. And because of that church or that place was so ingrained in you better follow my way or it's the highway, they forgot about that prodigal son story. That father released that kid, blessed that kid. And when that kid came home, what happened? It was party time. Here's my ring. Here's my cloak. Come, slaughter the fattened calf. It's party time. That kid knew where he could come back to. You see, some of you, you try to control your customers, you try to control your employees, you try to control your kids, you try to control your wife or your husband, and all you're doing is squeezing them away from you. But when you let go and you allow people to make their own decisions and you allow them to learn in their own journey and in their own path, trust me, there are things that my kids have done that I'm like, what are you doing? But at the same time, I sit there and I twist my head the other way and going, I had to learn that way too. Because how many of you have had to learn the hard way? Yes, you have. Many of us have. But who are we to try to control someone's way? And who are we to try to beat someone up using scripture? Who are we to do something like that? So we are living in a culture that is filled with division. How do we ourselves stop walking in it? What can we do to bring healing to it? Number five, conflict is an opportunity for unification. When you see conflict, you have to know what's on the other side of the conflict. What's on the other side of a conflict? Tell me. Unity. Unity's on the other side of conflict if it's dealt with properly. Conflict doesn't mean contention and striving. If you allow conflict to get there, that means that you're walking in judgment and pride and self-righteousness. But when you choose to hit it head on, now you're walking in humility and you're doing it in love. So for example, what has been happening lately in our world? Say again. What's that? Oh, I don't know who that is. I'm sorry. But the last time I checked, there's been floods. There's been hurricanes, one after another, after another, after another. There's been shootings. There's been fires. 10 dead from fires. California has fires every year. Never deaths. 10 deaths. Now there's 30 deaths? 40? Okay, last I heard was on Thursday, and there was 10. So now there's more count, like 40 people dead from fires right in the area, by the way, in which we all used to live. So fires are claiming lives, shootings are claiming lives, floods are claiming lives, hurricanes are claiming lives, earthquakes are claiming lives. What is all that? That's all conflict. And can you tell me what's been happening out of all those conflicts? Unity. Unity is what has been coming forth from all those conflicts. Where people don't care about someone's race, where they work, do you understand? Where they go to church, no one's asking those questions first. Do you go to my church? Oh, you don't go to my church? I'm sorry, I can't help you. Do you know that there's churches that actually do that? Literally, there are churches that do that. Oh, are you a member? Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have anything for you. Seriously. Oh, those are those holy roller, you know, Baptist people over there. We don't talk to them. Oh, no, those are those, should have bought a Hyundai, hallelujah, we don't talk to those people because speaking in tongues is of the devil. We believe in full immersion of the baptism. Them Catholics over there, they just sprinkle some stuff on you. No, that is from the pit of hell. Oh, now hold on 1 second. We are the holy Pentecostal people. We don't wear jewelry. We don't wear pants. We, meaning the women don't wear pants. Danny Johnson wears a big fat diamond on her hand and way too much makeup. She obviously has a demon. Oh, I promise you, these things have been said. These things have been said. Okay, now hold on a second. Are you a Christian? Oh, I'm sorry. I can't feed you today. You're not? I'm terribly sorry. Our services are just for Christians. It is a reality. How many of you know this stuff is true? You know it's true. It's sad, but it's true. It happens. But since all the conflict has been coming out of the earth and out of the sky, what has been happening? Unity. It causes all the walls to come down. And what is it? It's humility in the midst of conflict that is bringing unity and bringing healing. And how many of you have been inspired by some of your countrymen and women for how they've rallied together to do what we're supposed to do all the time? What is coming out of us right now is we are finally walking in the calling in which we have been called. Galatians, where we started from. Be worthy of the calling in which you've been called. You see, we as an organization help the poor every single day. Every single day we bring clean water. Every single day we're bringing food to the hungry. Every single day we're helping the elderly. Every single day we're building houses for the poor. And now all of a sudden, without the conflicts that the world know about, but we actually search for the people who are hurting so that we can humble ourselves and use our life for a good purpose. So now we're watching all of these natural disasters causing the best to come out in people in the midst of a society that's trying to keep people divided. So humility is the key to conflict being resolved into healing and unity. Number 6, you need to decide if you will run and hide from conflict. You need to decide if you are going to see it as a personal attack against you. You need to decide whether or not you will see it as an opportunity to bring healing by humbling yourself and helping, which increases your effectiveness. It increases your production. Unity will increase your organization's trust. And where there is trust, there's going to be more production. It will increase the peace in your life, the love in your life, and the satisfaction in your life. That's the bottom line. So I have a challenge for you. And I have a question for you. How many of you, Issa, can I have you please? How many of you have been on the other side of judgment? How many of you have been on the side of judgment where someone has falsely accused you of thinking a certain way, believing a certain thing? How many of you have received that? Can you tell me, Issa, how that feels? That's the word. Tell me how it feels. hurt. It's a deep, deep, deep hurt. It crushes. It devastates. You feel betrayed. You feel isolated. Demoralized. What else? Pressed down. Oppressed. Did any of you, when you've been on that side of the judgment where someone has harshly judged your character, even though your character was upstanding, and one thing that you said could be twisted, or there's something that you had in your heart to do, got twisted by another from their self-righteousness, from their place, from their lack of understanding? Because a judgmental person only has a tiny part of the picture. They have a tiny part of the picture. They're tormented by that tiny part, and they lasso their lips. They shoot darts, fiery darts, against you. And the words were, I feel crappy, crushed, demoralized, isolated, discouraged. How many of you have ever felt and wondered and questioned your own character? That you actually started to wonder, am I what they say? Am I what they say? How many of you felt condemned? You see those feelings that you felt? Who was that? That's the voice of the accuser. The voice of the accuser that wants you to believe. The voice of the accuser wants you to believe. Those wicked, fiery darts wants you to take ownership. Wants you to wear what has been said about you. And if you're not careful, you will make agreements with all of it. Every fiery dart that was shot into your back, if you're not careful, you will become what they judged you to be. If you're not careful, and you're not firmly rooted in the Spirit of the Most High God, who is the one who shouts your identity over you. You are my son. You are my daughter, in whom I am well pleased. I'm the God of all flesh. Is there any matter too difficult for me? If you have suffered from that intense judgment and those fiery darts of someone falsely accusing you, and even going hog wild and spreading false accusations about you and attacking your character, if that has happened to you, I want you to stand to your feet right now, please. Quite a few of you, isn't it? It's a very painful thing. So painful it can throw some of us into a depression. So painful it can cause some of us to quit. So painful it can cause some of us to lash out with our mouths in pain towards another. Those of you that are not standing, I need your help. These people have had some fiery darts pointed right at their back. Whether it was true or not, doesn't matter. Somebody highlighting that thing was not humility in action. But what got brought to the people who were standing was a conflict. And what can come out of this conflict is to be unified with their judge. So by a show of hands, how many of you have judged people in the same way that you've been judged? Then right now, we have to use this opportunity to make it right before our God. As we stand before Him, that if we have felt these fiery darts and we turned around and we lassoed those fiery darts back, instead of walking in humility and saying, I'm sorry. If I confused you, I'm sorry. If I let you down, I did my best and it's certainly not my heart. I'm sorry that you feel disappointed. I ask that you forgive me. At this time, we're going to have to just agree that we don't see things the same way. And I'm choosing to accept your beliefs, and I'm choosing to accept who you are, and I'm going to love you the same no matter what you say about me. I'm going to love you no matter what you do. That's my position. And I ask that you do the same with me. That we have the kind of a relationship that we will hold each other up in the midst of our screw-ups. That we would cover each other. That we'd walk alongside each other, even though we have a difference in opinion. You can say those words, and you can bring harmony inside of a conflict, the calm to a storm. But before we go there, I want to give you the opportunity that your God in heaven, that He would heal this very, very deep wound. It's out of this deep wound that we make decisions that are not necessarily the greatest. When you've been judged like this, you fear man. And the Bible's clear that the fear of man will prove to be a snare. It will ensnare you. So if you're one of those that put your hand up that, yes, I have falsely judged, I have harshly judged, I've judged in the same way I've been judged, you know who you are. You put your hand up. I just want you to go to somebody that is standing around you, because you know who you are. Go to somebody, and I want you to ask for forgiveness as a judge to someone else that's standing in this room. And if you're sitting, you can certainly go to someone that is standing, and it's a real simple thing to say. Will you please forgive me? For I've been a judge. I've walked in self-righteousness and pride and arrogance, and I was wrong. Will you please forgive me on behalf of every person that has ever falsely accused you, that refused to accept your differences, that refused to love you in your choices, but instead casted you out? So please, if you know you put your hand up and you see somebody standing by you, go to them now and ask them to forgive you on behalf of every judge, you being one of them. Go for it. Humility feels so much better than pride, doesn't it? Humility gets results. Pride does too, but I'm not so sure that the kind of results you want to live with. What would happen if we set an example of humility? What would happen in our country? What would happen in the countries around the world? What would happen if we actually walked with the Spirit of the living God? Can I have everybody's eyes closed in this room? I don't know what God you serve, but you've been introduced to mine. You actually, if you were here earlier today, you were introduced to him this morning. He's faithful and true. He's just. And his love is like none else. His acceptance is like none else. And I believe he's calling every single one of us to a higher level of leadership that is demonstrated through humility. And in humility, there is great strength. In humility, warriors are raised up. In humility, we can accept each other's differences. Difference of opinion, preferences, food choices, churches that we choose to go to, or churches we choose not to go to. We can accept each other on whatever part of the journey of life that we're actually on. And we become the safe place that people are looking for. You are that safe place that someone is looking for when you're in humility. You are that safe place that says, I know you're hurting, and I'm sorry. If there's anybody in this room that you've sensed this presence is different than what you've sensed before, even maybe took a drink of his love, there's somebody here in this room that you haven't been walking with the one true God who sent his son, Yeshua, which means Savior and salvation in Hebrew. He sent his perfect son to die on a cross to save us from our sin. The blood sacrifice that was made from his perfect sinless blood covers all of our sin. If you want to meet that one true God, if you want to walk with the creator of the heavens and the earth, who chose you to be on this earth, who loves you, who adores you, who's been talking to you, who is wooing you, and you haven't been walking with him, I want to give you the chance to do that tonight. Don't leave here tonight without making a declaration that you will choose him and his voice over the voice of the accuser. Imagine that one day you will know the voice of your God greater and faster than you do the voice of your accuser. Can you just imagine that? How quickly we shout out the voice of the accuser. Imagine knowing your Father's voice, who is pleased with you, even in all your sin. Now, I'm not saying leave here and go sin on purpose. That's just stupid. It's stupid to try to do that on purpose. The wages of sin is death. You will pay the consequences of your choices. What it does mean is that you choose to walk with him, and if you walk in his spirit, there is no law that can stand against you. None. So if you are not confidently walking with him, if you do not know his son, your savior, who washes everything off of you, all of it washed away, as far as the east is from the west, he remembers your sin no more. I invite you to meet your father right now through the salvation of the son. So with every eye closed in this place, if you haven't been walking with him and you want to meet him, please put up your hand. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. You can put your hands down. You can open your eyes. As a declaration of faith that you're going to commit all your ways to him, I would love the opportunity to pray with you. So if you'd be willing to humble yourself, I would love if you would come right here so I can get the chance to pray with you. And we're going to pray a simple prayer, the same exact simple prayer that woman prayed with me. It completely changed my life. So if you put up your hand, I saw you right here. is where I'd like to see you up close and personal. Amen. Snuggle up, snuggle up, snuggle up. There's more coming. Snuggle in. Real simple. And before I engage in a prayer with y'all, I want to ask if there's anybody out there that you've been playing the judge or you've been carrying this hurt with you of being judged and turn around and using your mouth towards other people. This is the time to make it right with your Father, because you know you were not walking with him when you were doing that, but you became the agent and the ambassador for Satan himself. You want to switch sides and come and be the ambassador for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you know you need to repent, which means to turn away from what you've been doing and come back. It's teshuva in Hebrew, teshuva, return back to your Father. Then now's the time to get your butt out of the seat and come up here with the rest of us. You guys come closer. You know you got to make things right. Now's the time to make stuff right. I think the thing that I love most about God is there's no shame with him. There's none. There's none. That in this very moment that you stand here before him, there's no shame. In fact, his heart gets filled with pleasure seeing humility on you, saying, I need you. I can't do this on my own. I've already tried to make my own way. I've tried to figure things out on myself. I suck at it. And as a loving father, just as many of us have children, we love it when our kids come and say, help, I don't know how to do this. Can you help me? So let's pray. Just say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, you see me. You see all of me. You know of every single thing I've ever done. Every thought I have thought, every word I have spoken, and you still love me. How can that be? Father, there are things I'm not proud of, and you know exactly what they are. I allowed my heart to be hardened, and I need you to soften me. I give you my heart, all of it, right now. Take my heart of stone and return a heart of flesh back into me. Father, heal me of the wounds that were revealed tonight. Bring deliverance into my life. I confess with my mouth that I've made a mess and that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation. He came 2,000 years ago to cover my sins, to cover my hatred, to cover my jealousy, to cover my judgment of others, and the judgment of myself. He came to wash me clean of all unrighteousness. He came for me, who's walked in wickedness, pride, arrogance, big fat ego. He came to rescue me from this lonely place. Thank you. So I confess with my mouth that he did die on a cross. He spilled his blood, his perfect sinless blood, before all the world to see. He rose from the dead after 3 days. He fought for me and gave his life for mine, that I might live and live for all eternity. After 40 days of walking on the earth after his resurrection, proving who he was with holes in his hands and in his feet. He then ascended to you, and he's seated at the right hand of you, Father, praying for me right now, praying for me every day. Even when I fail, he's praying for me. And even when I fail, you are loving me, and you are for me, and you are not against me. Yes. Just hold right there. I just want to pray over you. Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Father, for so much humility in this room. Thank you, Father, for the movement inside of all of our hearts. Thank you, Father, for showing yourself to be so real. Thank you, Father, that your truth prevails. Thank you, Father, that you truly do accept, and your desire for us is to always return back to you, and that you use kindness to bring us home. You don't use judgment to bring us back to you. It is your kindness that you use to draw us to you. Father, teach us to walk in kindness, love, and acceptance and tolerance of the differences in the other human beings in which you created, so that we can be vessels and ambassadors for your kingdom, the kingdom of love. That you would use us to draw all men to you. That you would use us to bring healing in conflict. That you would use us to pull unity out of conflict. Help us to see eye to eye with our spouses, with our children. Help us see eye to eye with our coworkers, with our churches. Father, help us as a body of believers to love and love well. You said that we would be known for our love. That we would be known for our love. Not that we would be known for our ability to quote scripture. That we would be known for the buildings that we built. It doesn't say that we'd be known for the beautiful stained glass and the steeples. It doesn't say that we would be known by how much of the Bible we have memorized. It doesn't say that we'd be known for any other thing but our love. Our love for you and our love for our fellow man. Yeah. So Father, impart your love into us right now. Father, I pray right now that you bring healing to every deep wound that is inside of any person that is standing here before me right now. Father, these deep, deep wounds from these fiery darts that have been shot against every man, woman, and child who is here. Father, every man, woman, and child who has suffered, who has cried, who has wept. Father, every man, woman, and child that has questioned their character, has questioned whether or not you love them. Every man, woman, and child that has questioned whether or not they were worthy, whether or not they were worth it, questioned whether or not they were any good, and whether or not there was any good in them. Father, I pray right now in the name of Yeshua, that is Jesus the Christ, that you would go in and heal those very deep wounds right now. That when some have had the courage to express the places in which they were suffering, they were land blasted by another person instead of hugged, instead of accepted, instead of wooed with kindness. Those people were casted out. Father, I pray that you heal those very, very deep, deep wounds. That you bring healing inside of their soul. In fact, right now, Father, I pray that you remind those who are standing here the place and the person that brought it. Take them back to that place. Take them back to that memory. Take them back even to the smell. Take them back to the words. That they would take you with them into that place and they will allow you to bring restoration. Yes. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray restoration inside of their souls. Bring great restoration. Let your Holy Spirit go deep. Let your Holy Spirit go deep to these wounds and bring healing. Father, I pray that you, with your Holy Spirit, speak a word of encouragement to your sons and to your daughters. Even now, what is the voice of the Father? Let them hear your voice. Let them hear your voice of encouragement. Let them hear your voice of acceptance. Let them experience you. Yeah. What's the voice of your Father, my brothers and sisters? What's his voice sound like? What are you hearing? Are you hearing, I love you? Are you hearing, I accept you? I'm proud of you. I love you no matter how many times you mess up. You're my kid and nothing can separate my love from you. Beautiful. You're wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. I delight in you. And I adore you. And you're just the way I envisioned you. I made you just the way I wanted to. I made you for me. Why are you trying to please man? I made you for me. I made you for me. You are already accepted just the way you are. You don't have to earn my love. You don't have to earn my acceptance. You're already in the club. You're my kid. I rejoice over you. I love watching you. There's nothing I would change about you. I have great plans for you. Lots in store. We're going to do great things. We're going to go to some cool places. We're going to have some fun. I'm going to use your life. I'm going to use your life. I'm going to use the talent I planted in you. There's so much that's planted in you that you don't even know of. Voice of love, the voice of acceptance. It's the voice of your Father. You're already in. You don't have to strive. I got you covered. I got you covered. And as far as the east is from the west, I remember your sin no more. I remember your sin no more. I remember your sin no more. Yeah. Say this after me. Father, I want to know your voice. better than the voice of the accuser. Forgive me for listening more to the accuser than I've listened to you. Forgive me for holding up the opinions of man higher than your opinion. Yeah. I receive your forgiveness. And I receive your love, which brings peace and rest to my soul. Forgive me, Father, for those I've judged. I was wrong, really wrong. I put pain on their life out of my pain. And there's no justification for what I did or what I said. I flat out was wrong. I thank you for forgiving me. And I pray you give me the courage as I step out in humility to make what I've done to another person right. Teach me, Father, to love the way you love. To accept the way you accept. Can you feel the stillness in this room? I know I'm not the only one that can fill up. Is there anybody else here who feels a stillness inside of your being, inside of your soul? It's almost heavy. It's the peace of God. It's probably one of my most favorite things about him, outside of forgiveness. His peace he gave to you, his peace he leaves with you. The wrongs are covered. Now, as the Bible says, go and sin no more. Right? I want to share something with you. If you don't own a Bible, love to give you one. Does anyone not have a Bible? Does anyone need a Bible? Here's a couple. That's a more anointed one right there that just fell on the floor. Anybody else? Put up your hand if you want one. Sean, right over there. Awesome. It's a great book. You should read it. It really is. It's an amazing book. It is. It's phenomenal. It's historical. There's sex in there. There's wars in there. There's all kinds of fights in there. There's riches in there. There's financial teaching in there. Conflict resolution is in there. I mean, it's all in there. And it will teach you how to live your life in a better way. By the way, if there's anybody, Mona, do you have that list for me? It's right here. I know there's some of you that you would really like to have like personal one-on-one prayer with somebody. We have an amazing team of people, especially those who were just down in Nicaragua with us. They're like praying freaks. They love to pray, and they have seen so much breakthrough in their own life, and they're trustworthy people. You know what I'm saying? They've all walked through all the same crap we've all walked through, so they're not like self-righteous and holier than thou. They are everyday average folks just like the rest of us. And so if you want some personal one-on-one prayer, we have some people that would love to pray for you. So can I have my Nicaragua team come up here on stage? Is there anybody out here that would like one-on-one prayer? You want someone to pray with you for something? Just a couple of you. You can come up right now. Come up over here if you want one-on-one prayer. Because we got some people here that would love to pray with you. Hi, Kaylee. So for the rest of you, you can go get yourself a really nice good night's rest, and we'll see you at 9:30 in the morning. And then for those of you who want prayer, you just stay here, and we're going to stay and pray with each one of you. So each one of us know how to do that. Just find any one of us and tell us what you want us to pray for.